What a blessing. I saw Craig over there this morning. I started to say, I wish you'd sing this morning. And the Lord heard my prayer. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. Thank you, Miss Juanita, Brother Joe Barry. I love them in the Lord. What a blessing. Open your Bibles, please. The book of Acts, chapter number 9. Acts, chapter number 9. Now, I'm going to just share a few things with you, and I'm going to quit. I don't know if I've ever gone all the way through and finished. I know. And when I started mentioning people a while ago that's not in the services, if you had an hour, I could sit here and name about every one of them that's not here this morning. And I was talking to somebody yesterday. I thank Brother Ricky and Jean Pope. Please keep him in your prayers, if you will. Ask God's blessing on him. And I mentioned about Brother Ray's daddy going home to be with the Lord. That will be a graveside service on Tuesday. But remember all those folk and remember them in prayer. But I was thinking about Brother Barry, Miss Frances, Mitchell, and Sylvia, JC, and Peggy. I miss them. They always sit right along, right there near where Brother Gary and Cindy's at. And so many, I don't want to go, like Brad said, I got to mention, I don't want to miss anybody. But so many people are a blessing to us. And I got a text this morning from Miss Doris Langdon's daughter, Ann. And Miss Doris is doing well. And today, they hopefully to get her up. The incisions and all look good. The surgeon came by this morning, and they hope to get her up. I wonder if you ever wonder, can God really use me? When you look at this folk up here, and Justin, and God's gift to him, and how God used him and Heather, and what a blessing they are to us, and Tim and Wendy. I mean, so many things. The first time I ever had a burden about Judgment House, and from the very beginning, I felt like that there's things that we can do that are a little bit different, a little bit unique, that God will use to reach people. And Tim and Wendy had the same vision. And I mean, the first Judgment House we did, I think they had maybe a month to get ready for it. And we was talking about doing it in the fall next year or whatever. And he said, I think we might could do it this year. And from there on, it's been a success. I had a fella not long ago that came by the house, and he was talking to me about years ago he came to Judgment House and how God used that in his life. What a blessing. But you ever wonder, can God use you? Well, I want to tell you something. Not only can he use you, he is using you right now. And I want to just share, I have to just be real brief this morning, share some things with you. But look at chapter number 9. I have kind of been looking at the life of Paul in regard to our text verse, which is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. We are laborers together with God. And Paul's a great example of a servant, of a laborer in the Lord. And in chapter 9, we have a little bit of background about him, about his conversion. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, meaning those who were Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell down to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That's the prod that they used, a pointed stick to herd cattle or whatever, kind of like we'd have today, we'd have a hot shot. But he said, God, the Holy Ghost has been hemming you up, and it's hard for you to kick against that. He, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice and seeing no man. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, they saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus by the name of Ananias. And he said, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street that's called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one name called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he said in a vision, a man named Ananias coming in him and put his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And he hath, and here hath he authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, and to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Will you bow me just a brief word of prayer, and I'll get you out really quick here in a few minutes. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, God, in these brief moments, God, because of who you are and what you've done, Lord, I pray, God, you'd speak to the heart of every person in this building, every person in the media audience. And our Father, these are difficult and trying days. Our Father, there's a reason you did not take us home to heaven. There's a reason that you stayed your judgment on America. And our Father, I believe that is that we might fulfill your great commission, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, beginning in Jerusalem, and for us it would be beginning in Johnson County. And I pray, God, that you'd help us. God, I know there must be men and women, boys and girls, who do love you, but they wonder, can God really use me? God, speak this morning. And I know that it doesn't take you long just to say what you want to say. So God, speak now, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you had lived in and around Jerusalem in the days of Saul, you'd have tried, if you tried to pick out who was going to be the next convert, the next person to accept Christ, it would never have been Saul. He hated the name Jesus. He hated the person of Jesus. He hated the plan, the message of Jesus, the gospel. He hated all those who had, in his mind, forsaken Judaism, the worship of the Jews, and became blasphemous and traitors and heretics and followed this false disciple named Jesus. He had spent his life as a Pharisee of the Pharisees and trying to destroy all of that way. You would have never in your mind imagined him getting saved. I am sure that when he got saved and when people began to realize he really knew the Lord, there was a great big question mark. They were astonished. And Paul says in one place that he was set forth as an example. He's an example of salvation by grace through faith. And Paul would say to you today at Benson Grove, if God can save me, he can save anybody. And thank the Lord for that. Listen, some people, you know, they don't understand that God uses people. I was talking to somebody the other day about work, watching Jeopardy. I mentioned Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. And we also watch cooking shows at our house. That's what old people do. And Andy Griffin. We watch Andy Griffin and cooking shows and all. But I noticed that on these cooking shows, when they have the chefs and all that, and they have competitions and everything, the judges are people who are picked because they are considered authorities. But here's what I noticed. When they begin to name those people, they tell who they have worked with and who they cook for as they began to learn. And they say, here's so-and-so, and he was trained so-and-so, and he worked for this famous chef, and he worked for that famous chef. In other words, whoever he worked with was his credentials. Why? Because those people who were so successful as great chefs, if anybody worked with them, they knew that that great chef had the wisdom and skill to look at somebody and know that they could, more than what they were, they could be a great chef. And then they knew this, that if he saw them and saw potential in them and he worked with them, then they would be trained and taught by the best. Well, that's the whole concept of being a Christian. Listen to our text verse. We are laborers together with him. So if you ask any of this staff, what about their life and ministry? They're no different than you. They're no different than anybody. Paul, the great Saul, who became Paul, who wrote 13 books of this Bible, just like you. He was lost and on his way to hell. Never would have thought he'd got saved. And then, not only do you think he never would have got saved, but can you imagine how God used him? I mean, he established those churches all out through that Judean area and on up into Asia. And God used him to write 13 books of the Bible. And through him, the Word of God spread across the world. God changed his life, and through his life, God changed the entire world. I love reading the book of Romans. I love reading the book of Ephesians. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourselves, it's the gift of God. Paul wrote that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. A man who was a blasphemer, a man who was a murderer, a man who hated Christ, and God changed his life. And God chose to use him. And God will use you. If he'll use Saul, he'll use anybody. He uses everything in the Bible. I've been reading the Old Testament. I was reading about Aaron, about Moses' rod. God used that rod. Remember how he headed up at the Red Sea and it opened up? But do you remember the story behind it? God said, what's that in your hand? He's a shepherd. In the backside of the desert, he's a shepherd. You know what he had? Had a rod. And in that case, it was kind of just an old stick. It was used as a weapon. It was used to direct the sheep and such as that. But it was just an old stick. It was a rod. And God said, throw it down. And he threw it down and it became a serpent. And somebody said, I think it was J. Vernon McGee, that when that rod turned into a snake and God said, pick it up, Moses was wishing he had an assistant pastor. But you know, he reached down and he got hold of that snake and it changed back. And from then on, it's not called Moses' rod, it's called the rod of God. Because you see, he yielded it, surrendered it. And whatever it is, he used that rod. And Tim mentioned about the little boy with the five loaves and the two little fishes. And he fed 5,000 and if plus the women and men. But think about how many of us over the years, and Tim's one of them, have been blessed by the testimony of that little boy and what God did. God can use people. He can use anything. He used the widow's mite to teach about faithfulness in giving. He used the empty barrel of a widow to show God's provision. And you remember the story of the Bible? That blesses me every time I read it. God told the prophet, go to such and such a widow's house. And she's got just a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and they got her son. She's fixing to make a last little hoe cake. That's not what the Bible said, but that's what it was. She's going to take that last little meal and mix it together and cook it, and they were going to eat that cornbread, and they were going to die. That's what she told the preacher when he got there. And he said, make me that cake. And she did it immediately. She didn't hold back. She went ahead and made that little cake, and she gave it to the man of God. And then he said, go get some meal out of that barrel. I know in her mind she's saying, well, preacher, you don't know, but I scraped every little bit of it out there. And when she looked, there was meal in the barrel. He said, pour oil into that. And she had an empty cruse over here. She'd pour the last drop of it out, but she poured oil out of it. And for day after day after day, the meal barrel never ran out. The oil never ran out. God blessed her. And what a blessing. God used that little widow to bless the man of God. And then through that, God blessed her. And then God blessed me. God blessed you with the truth of that story. You think about in the Bible how God used David and a little sling. Think about how he used ravens to go feed the prophet of God. You think about all those wonderful stories in the Bible. And still people say, well, can God use me? Sure he can. And people say, well, God can't use me because of my past. And I got so many things to share, and I've done told you a story. It's 1 minute after 12. But you think about Paul, what he was and how he was. And God saved him, forgave him of every bit of it. Paul bore it the rest of his life. He said, I was a blasphemer. He said, I am chiefest of sinners. But yet God used him. Did you know that every one of us has got a past? I wouldn't want everybody to know everything in my past, and you don't want to either. There's something in all of our past. But you know, God will use us in spite of our past. There's three records of your past. One of them is in your mind. It's hard to forget what you've done. The other's in the opinion or the other people that knew you. They remember your past. And then there's Satan. He promised you he knows your past, and he'll bring it up to you every chance he gets. But I'm going to tell you something else. There's no record of your past in heaven. When God forgave you, He forgave you of all your sin, and He said, I remember them again no more. As far as the east is from the west, I put them behind my back. I won't ever remember. My dear friend, God's erased your past in His sovereign purpose and grace. And my dear friend, He doesn't deal with you according to your past. He deals you according to His grace. And my, whoever you are, whoever you are, whatever you've done, I don't care what kind of past you've got, God can use you. We did a prison ministry when I was in Reedsville. And I tell you, the first time I went in there, I got blessed more than they did. There were some guys, and Brother Calvin, I tell you, there were some guys in there that I know were saved and love the Lord. Boy, they sing and praise God and shout, and they testify. We had church and had guys get saved in there, you know, about every time. But one of the main men in there, boy, he had the sweetest spirit, loved the Lord. He was a blessing to me. He shared things with me with the Word of God. We prayed together, and he was always a blessing in all the service and everything. And after I'd been there about a year, went over one day, and he said, Brother Billy, you pray for me. He said, I'm getting out. And I said, well, praise God. He said, I'm afraid. I said, what are you afraid of? He said, well, I want to go back home. That a lot of people got to testify, but I'm afraid to go back. And I said, Brother, God's going to use you. God help you. He said, but you don't know me, preacher. You don't know my past. And he proceeded to tell me how he and another boy broke in a hardware store, went in a hardware store, a guy that they'd known most all of their life. They tied the old man up, robbed the store, took the money out of the register. And then for some reason or another, they felt like before they left, it'd be a good idea to cut his hands off while he's in that chair. And he said, we cut his hands off. He said, I ain't never supposed to get out of jail. God's worked it. But he said, that's where I came from. And I said, son, listen, God forgave you of every bit of that. I said, people may not, but God will. But God will use you when they see your life and your testimony. God used your past is no excuse. God will take care of that. Your present condition is no excuse. You say, Moses, you know how Moses was 80 years old. I read that again. I've been thinking about, Lord, I'm getting old. I'm 74. Well, Moses is 80 years old when God called him to lead the children of Israel out. And then 40 years he wandered in the wilderness. It's hard for me to walk Black Creek and back, but they walked in the wilderness for 40 years. And then he led them to the place of the promised land. And then appointed Joshua to be the leader. But God used him. And you know what God said about Moses? He was the meekest man on the earth. Oh, listen, you say, Brother Bill, I'm old. I'll tell you, I could go through story after story of people of age who blessed me. I was thinking about this morning. I know I used it in another sermon, but it's been on my heart since last night. When I was down in Florida, Panhandle, Florida, pastoring, I'd been out visiting all day one day, and it was just one of those days. Nothing went right. I mean, had got really depressed. And I was on my way home, and God, the Holy Ghost said, you go by and see so-and-so. It's a dear elderly lady, a widow lady, living in our church, and she was in her mid-80s at least. And I said, God, she comes every service. I'll see her Sunday morning, see her Sunday night, Wednesday night. He said, you go by her house. I went by her house, put up my yard, and I told the story. I closed my eyes and said, now she didn't have one sprig of grass in her yard. She thought you was backslid if you had grass in your yard. She pulled all that grass up and swept her yard all the time. It's an old wood frame house, and on the front porch was a couple old rocking chairs and a screen door. And I tapped on that screen door, and it sounded just like a screen door when it rattled. I could see it. I could hear it right now when it rattled. She come to the door, and oh, she was so tickled, and she opened the door, and she said, Brother Billy, I thank God, I love you, thank you for coming. And she went in. She had two chairs in there. She had a little rocking chair, and she had a straight back with a little woven bottom in it, a little straight back chair. She said, you want the rocker, you want the straight back? I said, I'm going to take the straight back. She sat in the rocking chair, and she sat there and rocked. I never said a word, hardly. But she kept talking about how good God was, how good God had been to her. I was looking around that little room, and it didn't have just a wood floor there, nothing much in the room, two little old chairs. And she's rocking and praising God and shouting. And the more she praised God and shouted, the better I got the feeling. I was feeling God. I felt God in that old lady. Then she got to lying. She got to telling me about Brother Billy. We've had a lot of good preachers, but you're the best one we've ever had. I love you, and I appreciate you and Miss Regina and the kids. And we love you to death and everything. And I said, well, honey, thank you so much. And it got me plumb embarrassed. And I said, well, I guess I need to go. And she said, wait a minute, I want to give you something. She got up, went to the kitchen. I walked to the kitchen door. She opened the Kelvinator, one of them little round-top refrigerators, opened that Kelvinator up. And I looked in there, and there's a glass jar of milk in there about that tall, had about that much milk in the bottom of it. And she stood down and looked at it for a few minutes. And then she looked in the side door. And then she looked back. And then she reached down and opened the drawer. I didn't see hardly nothing in that refrigerator. And she picked up something, turned around, and her face is beaming. And she said, Brother Bill, I want you to have this. It was a piece of fat back meat. It wasn't near as big as my fist, wrapped up in wax paper. And she said, I want you to have that. And I said, honey, I appreciate that. And she said, you take that home, tell Mr. Gina Cook got in some beans, either some and turnips or collards, one or the other, and boy, they'll be good. I didn't even take it out of my hand when I got in the car. I went driving back to the pastoral room. I was shouting praise at God, rejoicing in the Lord. And all of a sudden, I realized something. I wasn't holding in my hand a piece of fat back meat. I was holding the heart of a dear saint of God. She loved me. Here I am going on 75 years old. It's just as real right now as it was the day she did that. Can God use you? Have you got any fat back at the house? God can use you. Listen, don't care how old you are, God can use you. Oh, I wish I could finish this today. But no matter what's going on in your life, no matter who you are, God can use you. Number one, you must know that you're saved. If you get saved, you become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus, and God the Holy Ghost will use you for His glory. Number two, you must surrender and yield your life to Him. God, I don't know what you want me to do. Boy, when I was got saved, God called me to preach. I so admired Billy Graham, but I never had no great big aspirations. I didn't know that I'd ever get out of Halifax County where I was at. But I knew that whatever I did, I wanted God to have first place in my life. And I wish I could tell you over these 53 years where God's let me go and the people God's let me see. We watch television. I've been to Germany. I preached in Germany. I've been in all over this up down the East Coast and out West. And God's let me preach through the minister of the Highway Shepherd over the last several years. And Angie and all those, and Miss Sylvia and Mitchell and all those of you who pack up and ship them. And then so many, Marianne Strevel, who's going on to be with the Lord. And then so many others. Carolyn, I hate to even try to remember all those who've helped us, thousands upon thousands that we've given out, millions actually over the years. And what a blessing. And the dear man who called me yesterday, he said I was going through some stuff, and he said I found one of your cassette tapes. And but anyway, what I'm saying is this: God can use you if you'll just give yourself to Him. Know that you're saved, give yourself to Him, and then this: be willing to do what He wants you to do and give Him all the glory, and God will use you. Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning? Will you just look to the Lord? Can I ask you a question? Are you saved this morning? There's a life to live that's a joyous life, a victorious life, a blessed life, that when you get saved, that's just the beginning of that life. The exciting thing of how God will use you. So many of you that never taught a Sunday school class in this church, you've never stood up for any reason in front of them, but how God's blessed you when you sent me a little note or call me. You'll never know what those mean to me. Over the years, I've kept little notes from children and little pictures. They run up and hand them to me. I've kept all of that. I kept every note that's ever been sent to me because you ministered to my heart and life. A word, a card, a phone call, God can use you. Just know that you're saved and be willing to let Him use you and to be a blessing. You'll see people saved. Maybe you won't ever see them saved, but down the road, when you get to heaven, there'll be others who got saved because of your influence that you never, ever knew about. God will use you. What a privilege to be laborers together with the Lord. God can use you. I want us just to love Him and serve Him. I pray you will. But if you don't know Him, you've missing out on so many things. And I'd encourage you right now in the media audience and in this building to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Call upon Him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I encourage you and challenge you, don't be discouraged, don't be defeated, don't feel like it's hopeless. God sees everything you do. Every little witness to the folk at the, just a testimony or just a brief word to somebody at the food line, a gas station, anywhere else, when you wish them a blessed day or wish them and pray you have a blessed day or you say God's good or the Lord's give us a beautiful, every little thing, every seed sown, God knows every bit of that. He'll use you for His glory. So many things. I've got in my hand while we're praying a little card. I'll show it to you in a minute. Got it in the mail yesterday. And on the front of this little card, it says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." And then the verse at the bottom says, "It giveth understanding unto the simple." And it's distributed by a ministry called truckerministries.org. On the back, it says, "Read the Bible. It can change your life. It changed mine in a great way. Don't take my word for it. Read it for yourself. Make up your own mind. If you have any questions about life, about God, about Jesus, about death, about eternity, the Bible's the place to start. If you have a Bible, read it. If you need one, just ask me." And it gives his website. And in the inside is the personal note. "Happy New Year, Brother Billy. Weirdness of the last year brought me back to trusting in the Lord. Thinking I can handle things only led me to doubt and worry. Please give my love to the Benson Grove family. Your favorite Yankee, Gary Gaither." Gary was saved quite a few years ago now. At the age of 52 or 53, he tried all kind of religion, but he never had any peace. He picked up a CD of the Highway Shepherd and listened to it over and over again, and God saved him. He's been by here and given his testimony. And oh, I watched him grow over the years. He went to churches all over this country and visited. He got into studying the Bible. Felt like a few years ago that God was dealing about ministry. He went to a Bible college up north, went through a chaplaincy program. And now Brother Gary Gaither is a truck driver, but he has his own ministry called truckerministries.org. And this track that he sent me, along with some pens and some other things, God's using Brother Gary. Some of you prayed for him before he ever got saved. Some of you probably labeled or duplicated the CD that he picked up. And the thousands of truckers that he's witnessed to, thousands of CDs he's given out, and now his own ministry online and track distribution and all that he's doing while he's driving. You had a direct influence on his life, and God used you. I want to tell you, let's don't quit. Let's just keep on keeping on. Be good soldiers of the cross, and God's going to bless. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for letting me be in the house of the Lord today. God, thank you for our dear friends, and God, I thank you for all you've done. And God, I pray right now that your people right where they're sitting will once again yield themselves to you without any reservations, knowing that little things count, just a little word. They don't have to go to another foreign country. God, every day of their life, you use simple things, little words, and God, you'll use any of us for your glory. And God, bless our friends here and those in the media audience. And Lord, please don't let anybody die and go to hell. And I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brother Brad, have you got a special song? I was going to dismiss them. Okay, let's stand together. I told you I was going to get you out by 12 and I fudged. I know those who are going to help outside. We're not ending on a low note. We're going to end on a high note. Amen. How many of you love the Lord? Say amen. I want God to use us, and He will. He is. He already has. And I want to just encourage you, be faithful. Little thing, make all the difference in the world in somebody's life. Amen. God bless you. Miss Jennifer, if you'll just play. You okay with that? I want to dismiss you this morning. give you time to get out. And those who are going to come back, I know you got to be back. Help Brother Tim out here. Remind our deacons we're meeting at 5. And so give you time to get out and stir around. Are you glad you came? Say amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your love for me and all the staff. Thank the staff for all they've done in my life and investing in me, loving me, praying for me. And I thank God. I thank Brad and April when I almost tried to die in Israel, got to go to heaven, and Miss Regina was going to be by herself, that they stayed behind, missed their flight so they could stay with us. And I think about them, love them. Thank you, all of you. Love you. God bless you. Thank you for being here.